when I forgot. Thought about it. Singing that song. Gone. Oh, I know what it was. We have new directories out at the desk out there. And if you need a directory with people's names and addresses and emails, help yourself to one out there. Also, the devotions are out there at the information desk. You can get one of those. In the Old Testament, we don't hear much about the Holy Spirit. We don't read a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. Although he's there. He was there at the creation. He was there ever since. But in the book of Ezekiel, God spoke to Ezekiel explaining that God wanted Israel to come back to him from the idols, from the lawlessness. God wanted Israel to be his people once again. And the way that he was going to accomplish that was that he was going to do something new for them. He told Ezekiel about what he was going to do. What he did then, he does today for every person who accepts the Lord Jesus Christ. Ezekiel was a prophet of God. And so God instructed Ezekiel as to what he was going to do for his people. So if you will, look at it, Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. And God tells us, beginning at verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, referring to his people and the prophet, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your father. And ye shall be my people. And I will be your God. Today, God does the same thing for people who are born again. He indwells them with the Holy Spirit, and the instant that they become his child, because mankind is not able to be obedient in his own strength, God places within us the Holy Spirit. We call it indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have an enemy that's out to destroy us and to cause our testimony to be compromised. If it's possible, he will do that. Our enemy is the devil, and he knows how to affect us. The devil knows all of our hot buttons, and he loves to push them. I don't know if you've experienced that, but he knows what our hot buttons are, and he pushes. So God has given us the Holy Spirit. Because of that, we can say that what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8, 1 through 4. Romans 8, 1 through 4, we read, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You and I have been changed. We've been changed by God's Holy Spirit. We're not the same people that we once were. When we were born again, our souls were made alive again. And they will be alive until we go to be with the Lord, either through the rapture or through death. I know that you know about the fruit of the Spirit, because a few years back we memorized some verses about the Spirit. The Spirit has one fruit, but it has different ways of manifesting itself. Our heart, or the seat of our emotion, is changed, and we become aware of a kind of love that we have never experienced before. We find compassion for people that we have never had before. Jesus was like that in his ministry with all the people he came in contact with. We are no longer condemned by our sins. It's been forgiven. It is as though it never existed. Suddenly, we have a love for strangers and people that we don't know. But we see in life as we pass by them. We find our emotions directed toward those who are less fortunate than we are. We tend to provide help that can encourage people that have obvious needs. We also derive our joy out of helping others. The Spirit becomes part of our motivation to help others. The Apostle Paul wrote about our experience with the Spirit after our conversion. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, Paul talked about the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, beginning at verse 16, tells us, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the thing that you would." The Spirit lives in our soul or heart, and that is one aspect of our passage through life. But there's another aspect that seems to influence us more powerfully than our heart and soul, and that is our physical body. We yield to the desires of our body, actually more than we yield to the desires of our soul. Our bodies have appetites that we tend to satisfy more often than the desires of our soul. Many people let their bodies dictate what they will do before responding to the desires of souls craving to walk in obedience to God's word. Actually, there's a war going on inside of us, inside of our body. Paul refers to this war as the lust of the flesh. And I think that he refers to it in that way because our bodies seem to dictate what we're going to do with our lives. God has equipped every one of us with his Holy Spirit so that we can overcome what our bodies want to do in the flesh or the lust of the flesh. God would not ask us to do something that we could not do, that was not possible. And he has asked us to let the Spirit be our guide. Galatians 5:25 tells us, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Now we've come to the challenge that we all face. How do we continually walk in the Spirit? Most of us are able to multitask, and so we do several things at the same time. Some of us are even able to walk and chew gum. Some of us can't do that anymore. We have to do one or the other. But life takes our thoughts away from God, takes our thoughts off from God. And we get involved in things that cause us to forget what God is expecting of us or what God wants from us. We forget about the things of the Spirit. We begin making decisions without consulting God or even praying about them. We forget that we have a command from the Apostle Paul to walk in the Spirit because we are supposed to be living in the Spirit. The Spirit occupies your heart or your soul, and He will be a part of you for the rest of your life. So how can you ignore an important part of yourself? The answer lies in the place that the rest of you has in your life. I don't know what you think about in your spare time, but as a pastor, I normally think about God several times during the day, as I'm usually involved in some kind of activity at the church here every day. And yet, I fail to let the Holy Spirit totally control my activity all the time that I am acting. I think about the future and what the Lord might ask of me, yet I don't include the Holy Spirit as part of my deliberation. I guess we all get used to making our own decisions, and we forget who is in our heart or who is in our soul. I believe that those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior all want to be like Him. That's what we are told in the Bible. That's what we are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be being like Jesus. So let's take our example from Jesus. He knew what was about to happen, but He followed the Spirit anyway. Even though He knew He was approaching the devil's territory, Jesus let the Holy Spirit lead Him. And I'd like to read a portion out of Luke, one verse. And I want you to listen to this verse because this is very important. Jesus had come to John for baptism, and John had told him, "No, you need to baptize me. No, I need to keep the law." So for the time being, baptize. Luke 4:1 tells us, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." He let the Holy Spirit lead him to a place where he knew he was going to undergo temptation. In the wilderness, Jesus was tempted in all the ways that you and I can be tempted. He was tempted, and he went into the wilderness. He experienced the lust of the flesh. He experienced the lust of the eyes. He experienced the pride of life, all at the hands of the devil. At that point, Jesus was aware that he was being tempted by his enemy, the very person that he had come to destroy. Did that knowledge give Jesus more strength that you and I might have in the time of temptation? I believe that Jesus being the Word incarnate, was able to use the Word in defense of every temptation that the devil was able to use. We don't have that privilege, so we have to memorize Scripture. Jesus was the Word. We're told that in John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was Jesus Christ. Now, I've had the Holy Spirit help me at times when I needed a piece of Word. When I was either talking to someone or was getting ready to do something, a verse would come to my mind. That was the Holy Spirit, and He is in you. And He's going to do the same thing for you. He's going to lead you and help you. Psalm 119, verse 11, tells you, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Do you think this verse is in the Bible by accident? I think God had a purpose for putting that there. God wants us to memorize the Word. He wants us to hide it in our heart, and that's how we do it. That's what we do when we memorize it. If we have a verse of Scripture to use when we are tempted or confronted by the devil's influence, we should be able to overcome the devil. I've never known anyone who could quote Scripture and sin at the same time. I've never known anyone to be able to quote Scripture and sin at the same time. Now, you might think that memorizing Scripture is too hard, but I've had the Holy Spirit quote Scripture to me when I was tempted, and He will do the same thing for you if you will let Him do it. Remember that the Holy Spirit lives in your soul. And he was the one who inspired the writing of the Word of God. So He knows the Word. He's able to bring to your mind a passage of the Word so that you can use it against the devil or one of his minions whenever you are tempted. Keep in mind that we are studying about walking in the Spirit. Paul, the apostle, commanded for us to do that, to walk in the Spirit. Why would you expect to experience walking in the Spirit? Are you one of the Lord's children? Then you have the Holy Spirit in you. He is living in your very soul. Paul told the Roman church, Romans chapter 8, verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, and you all are sons and daughters of God." Are you really led by the Spirit? If you are a son of God, then you can be led by the Spirit. I've talked to people that have been saved for several years, and they are not sure what is meant by walking in the Spirit. So let's look at that for a few minutes and see if we can learn anything about walking in the Spirit. Let's start with a truth that is of vital importance to each one of us. If you are a Christian and have been born again, then you have the Spirit of God living in you. Paul wrote these words in Romans 8:9. "But if ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." And so I would have to ask this morning, does the Spirit of God live in you? Have you received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? And if you have done that, the instant that you believed in your head, the Spirit occupied your soul. And He is living within you right now to help you He's not there for any other reason. He's there to help you in the flesh, to live in the spirit. And Paul tells us, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. But if you don't have the Spirit in you, you're not saved. So it is important you have at least a little time and experience talking and walking in the Spirit. If you've never experienced walking in the Spirit, you need to spend some time with the Lord, getting acquainted with His Spirit. You can pray to the Spirit. You can talk with the Spirit. You can listen, and He will communicate with you. Sometimes you have a desire in your heart. You just know that something you need to do, and you go ahead and do it. That's the Holy Spirit communicating with you. And that's a very important part of living for the Lord Jesus Christ. So spend some time talking to the Spirit. Spend some time getting acquainted with the Holy Spirit. He's in you. He's there to help you. The first thing that we need to be aware of is that we're living in the age of grace. What does that mean? Well, if we're living under grace, we're not under the law. If we're living in the age of grace, we are not under the law. Now, does that mean we can do whatever we want? No. It means that we are under the control of God and His mercy. We are living within God's love, and we should respond in love. But in our minds, we try to be obedient to the law, because that's what we have been conditioned to, and that's what we have erroneously thought for years. Let me show you a verse in the Bible that you may not have noticed. This is an important verse. It may change the way you do things. Galatians 5:18. Galatians 5:18. I don't know why I had not noticed that verse before. I've read the Bible through numerous times. But this verse is in the Bible. Galatians 5:18 tells us, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Okay, we're not under the law. Did you think that you were under the law? God had something totally different in mind when He saved you. Perhaps you have been doing this thing that Peter speaks about. Let me give you a few verses out of Peter's writing. 1 Peter 4:8-10. And above all things, have fervent charity or love among yourselves, for charity or love shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, and that is the Holy Spirit, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God in His grace has given you the Holy Spirit. You see that God has given us grace so that we can minister grace to each other. We're supposed to be ministers of God, and the grace of God is what we're supposed to be ministering one to another. When we are thinking about ministering God's grace to others, we will not be subject to God's law, because that was fulfilled by Jesus on the cross when He said, it is finished. What was finished was the law. When Jesus called out, "It is finished," he was referring to the law. We are not any longer under the law. Our souls have passed through the law in Christ. I'm very concerned for people, for souls, if you please, who will not be obedient to God's word. The word was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the word is a result of his ministry on earth. Paul wrote his epistle under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Not only did Paul write under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, but he also did much of his ministry under the direction of the Holy Spirit. We should all be the same way and be praying to God for the direction of God's Holy Spirit, and that we might go the places where we might find him. He's in the heart and soul of everyone sitting in the room. I believe you're all saved. If you are a believer, then you will have the Holy Spirit in your heart to help you keep the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's ministry doesn't end with the keeping of God's Word, but he is also in your soul to lead you to the place where God wants to use you. It's not strange that you should have yearning in your heart to do something special for the Lord. God uses the Holy Spirit to direct us to the place where we can be used to accomplish something for eternity and to the glory of God. I've watched men over the years be called by God. I've watched women over the years to be called by God to the mission field or to other kinds of ministry. God wants to use you if you would be willing to serve him for even a short time in a place of his choosing. There are many things that we can do. Bringing a gift to someone in the nursing home is a way of ministering to the Lord. Going out and ringing bells for Salvation Army is a ministry. There are so many different ways that we can minister for him. It was not an accident for God to have placed his Holy Spirit in your heart. He did that for your help in times of temptation and in times of other people's needs. Because God loves you very much, you have no need to be afraid to step out for God, to meet the needs of other people, because God loves you very much. He wants to love other people through you the same way. So let's consider stepping out for the Lord and serve him wherever, whenever the opportunity arrives. He will provide for you if he wants you to serve him in some remote place. God will meet your every need if you are doing what he wants you to do. He will open doors for you and no one can shut them. I've seen this several times personally. I close by asking you to ask God in prayer to use you where he wants you. Now, don't pray that prayer unless you really mean it and you're willing to be any place God puts you, because God will answer that prayer and it may be in a way that you never expect. Then spend some time with the Lord in prayer and ask him to show you what he wants you to do for him. Father, we are your children. You have placed within us your Holy Spirit. And Father, he wants to guide us. He wants to use us. He wants to empower us to do the things that you would have us to do. So, Father, as we approach this Christmas season, what a great time to know you and serve you. And, Father, use each one of us to be your servant, to love others for you through the power of your Holy Spirit. Empower us, Father, to be faithful to everything you would have us to do. And Father, we will pray for all the things that you do, because we ask these in Jesus' name.